Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. And today I have with me two distinguished gentlemen, John Hill from the Long Island, say it again.
Long Island Advancement of Small Business.
And we have Ken Greenberg.
And I'm from Patient Innovations, but we also have a member group, part of the Long Island Strategic Alliance, which John will explain, called Alert Long Island. We're a chapter of Act for America.
We're all different organizations, and John came up with this idea of marshaling our forces to get certain things done. John, I told you when you started this, I was with you 100% because I knew you were going to work hard to make something happen because you're good at this. Tell us about the group and what you expect to make it happen.
Well, as Ernie once said to me, there's strength in numbers. And taking that into consideration, I started looking at companies that had the same ideas and that we had regarding Long Island. We had a mission statement that said our mutual goal is to assist Long Island businesses to flourish through education, exchange of information, collaboration with business, government, and academic communities, as well as address those issues that affect the quality of life on Long Island. And that's what we do,
Ken,
as a group.
Ken, you brought up at a meeting I was at where you were talking about how the health care has got so much more expensive because of Obamacare. Now,
it's not even just Obamacare. It's New York State's own regulations that make Obamacare look like it's not that much, really.
Yeah.
And it's been that way forever because, we had, long before Obamacare passed, we had the no pre-existing conditions in New York. We had the, kids on the policies, and we had a lot of that stuff already.
Did we? I didn't know we had the older children.
Yeah, we had it. I don't remember if it was 24 or 26, but why split hairs,
Right.
If the kid's home already, you're in trouble. But the thing is, when you think about it, the real issue is all small businesses in New York, it used to be, and this is where John and I got talking about. The original idea that we came up with is, hey, I would go to these Long Island Advancement of Small Business meetings or your LIMBA meetings. I'd see, there could be 100 people in the room. And unfortunately, the regulation in New York says that if you're under 50 employees, and they just raised it to 100, but if you were under 50 employees, you had to be in this community-rated plan, which had even more mandates than the bigger companies. So the average small business has been paying over the last few decades, like 30% more for coverage than the bigger business that has, you could have 49 employees before, the guy that pays 51 employees, has 51 employees is 30% less than you.
So now, John, you came up with the idea of getting all of these organizations, amalgamating all of the employees into a sizable group. I think we got about 14,000 people.
We have, it's actually 14,600 people. We have 4,300 businesses involved.
Now, what you want to do is present this to the state and say, why can't we come in as an association group and get the rating based on the lives that are in the group?
That's right. We're a not-for-profit organization, and we feel that we want to take advantage of anything that we possibly can for our membership.
Now, I remember you could do this once. Many years ago.
They killed it when they introduced the community rating, which, and it could be one of those, government concepts in New York that, the intention was good, but the unintended consequence wasn't good.
No, it wouldn't be like the insurance industry got in the ear of your senator or assemblyman and
said, I'll tell you why. Because, Patient Innovations, we've done work with United Healthcare. And I know the CEO of United Healthcare. He's on the board of the Long Island Association. And I ran it by him. I said, Jeff, how would you feel? We've got this idea. We want to take it to the Department of Financial Services, which, by the way, a few years ago, they combined the New York State Banking Department with the New York State Insurance Department. So you won't hear the New York State Insurance Department. It's the Department of Financial Services. I said, would you support this? I mean, the United Healthcare is the largest health insurance company in the country. He said, yes. He said, I was trying to do that for a couple of McDonald's franchisees where they owned, stores where maybe they had a few. Each one was like 20, 25 employees.
But they were owned by different...
The same owner owned them, and it doesn't matter. And he wanted to see, could we get a group rate? Because each store is under the 50, but if you add them up, it's over the 50. And he was all for that. He said, look, you know, we got into Obamacare thinking we'll have more lives insured, and that'll, you know, help push the costs down, or even if costs are lower, we'll have, you know, it's a volume thing. Hasn't exactly panned out. So they would actually support us getting a lower, because more people would be able to afford the coverage. Now, there's another issue, and it's a very serious issue. Real estate, or any contractor, or contract employee, anybody in a real estate office is not on a paycheck. They're not on a payroll.
Right. They're independent
contractors. And part of the New York State law, the other thing, which is why you have those PEO groups like Insperity or whatever, you have to be on a common payroll to get a group rate. So one of the things we would need if we want to do this idea of combining like everybody that shows up at LIMBA, you know, the small businesses or at LIASB or any of the membership is, well, we're not on a common payroll, but the common thing is we're a member of this nonprofit trade group. We should be able to show a letter showing, you know, sort of like, you know, when you renew your auto registration, well, you prove that you have insurance.
Let me ask you something. If I have a company with, say, 200 employees.
Yes.
I'm getting a rating based on my experience.
It's called experience rating now, of your employees only.
Let me finish the question.
Right.
Now, they have access to know all of that experience, or do they just know it by virtue of having insured you, and they know what to look at?
Well, even if you were switching insurance, remember there's, and I forget the name of it, there's a medical database. You're in insurance, right? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. The Medical Information Bureau.
Right. So every time you apply for insurance, they kind of know what's been
so
going on.
So it really wouldn't be a problem getting those stats.
I don't think so. Now, you know, besides which, they can look at the claims from prior years. They'll say, look, oh, you're coming from, let's say, Emblem to United Healthcare. We want to see what your claims was last year. And most businesses, the bigger businesses.
Is it possible that even though you can get all that information and conglomerate it, so to speak, that these smaller companies are having a worse experience?
It's a great
question.
Because
of the pressures of being in a small business.
But here's the wacky thing. You know, when,
what I'm asking is, do you know that for
will
certain?
Will it be better, is your question, I think. All I know is when I was at Austin Williams, the advertising agency I founded, and we had like 40, we still have 40 employees, maybe 20, 21 in the group plan. The people that, the broker would tell you, if you had just 51 employees, your premium would be 30% less. How do they know what my experiences would be with 51 employees? You know?
Yeah.
It's just that there's a reason for it. There's more mandates in the required coverages that you have to have in your policy, some of which you'll never use, right? In the under 50, which they did raise this January, it became 100. So under 100 now is got more mandates than the person with 101. So if you were at 100, it almost pays.
Give me an example of a mandate you can't use.
Well, I'm not sure for the New York State mandates, but I know, for example, in my current policy, which is now dictated under Obamacare, I'm a male, but I have to have maternity coverage on me. I also have to have pediatric dental coverage, even though my son is 37. It's not exactly pediatric.
Well, you're a male. Yeah. You're presently not married?
I am married, but this is not maternity coverage for my wife who can't have babies anymore. This is maternity coverage in case I personally get pregnant. It's impossible. Even if you have an individual plan that you got, you know, dictated by what has to be in there by Obamacare, that's not substandard. You, Ernie Fazio, if you're single, well, I know you're not anymore, you would have to have maternity care in your plan for you.
Now,
it makes no sense. It just inflates the premium.
Yeah.
It's a blanket policy. That's the problem.
Well, part of the thing is, you have to understand the mentality was, in structuring this, just like they hoped the younger people would buy to cover, the older people tend to use coverage more. Remember, the other thing we had in New York, in community rating, no age. Yeah. No health was counted, even before Obamacare.
Yeah.
So a person who's working still at 70, who is more likely to have, you know, use the doctor per
chance. Yeah, but we didn't pay that much premium for those people because Medicare was the subscriber.
Yeah, I'm using that as a, maybe I should have said a 64-year-old not on Medicare.
Right.
You know, is probably going to use health care more than a 20-year-old. Or a person who has, you know, cancer, God forbid, or some bad disease is paying the same exact rate as a young, healthy person under the New York Community Rated Plan. I started to say the concept of it, I think, was probably a good idea. Let's pretend 30, 40 years ago they come up with this thing. They said, hey, you got maybe three people in the firm, and they're all elderly, they're all sickly. Your premium's going to be crazy. By doing this thing in the community rate, we put you in this bigger pool, premiums would be lower. But they're not lower. The pool must be huge.
Yeah. What I'm going to do in the second part of this, we're going to take a break in a couple of seconds.
I was watching the clock.
But what I want to do is I want to talk to you about the expansion of Medicare, what that would cost, and would that be a solving of the problem? This is Ernie Fazio. I'm talking to John Hill, and I'm talking to Ken Greenberg today, and we're talking about the health care, changes in health care. This is Earnestly Speaking Radio. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned.